when we're talking about doubtful things, and we're in that, and we're getting into the Romans chapter 14, we're talking about things where he's been very dogmatic all through the book of Romans and saying, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, and this is where you stand. But then as we looked at last week, he gets into some area of questionable things or gray areas or doubtful things. And we like to have things very straight sometimes. You know, this is right and this is wrong, and it's all in a box and it's all settled. And we like to do that. And so we're talking these 4 weeks about areas of doubtful things and how we handle those as we go through life. The first last week we talked about conviction and how it's important that we hold what we hold with conviction and we be careful to, excuse me. To be careful as we look at issues and areas of struggle and areas of questionable things in the Christian life. And we don't just simply come to a published list that we have of what's right and what's wrong for us and for other people. That's legalism, and Paul argues against legalism. And he says we need to be careful that we don't have these expectations that everybody's going to fit in a certain way, and that indeed it's biblical to come to the understanding that there are some things that are sin for me that might not be sin for you. Some people have a hard time understanding that or accepting that. But Paul is very clear in this passage that for some people it's okay for them to eat meat, and for some people it's sin for them to eat meat based on their conviction, what God has laid on their heart. And eating meat is just the example, because that was kind of the big issue in their day. So if you have a potluck in the Roman church, what do you serve? Is it all vegetarian? Or can you have meat? Or in deference to your brothers who struggle with this, do you insist, and this may sound real gross to you, but do you insist that the lamb or whatever you're going to have meat be slaughtered on the spot and cooked on the spot? To guarantee to those brothers and sisters who struggle with that area to know that it has not been sacrificed to idols. In the process, because of the meat in that day, all in the markets, it looks like it was probably either all sacrificed to idols, or you couldn't tell, or you couldn't trust the meat keeper, or the meat seller, to know. And so there's the struggle of how do we, when we're in the same church, when we're the same body, how do we handle these differences? And how do we go forward with that and keep a sense of unity, even though we have differences in many specific areas of life? So the first of those is to come to them with conviction, and that is to wrestle through the issue for your own, with your Lord, with Scripture, and to know where you stand on that issue. And not just to take it as somebody out there has a list of do's and don'ts and just buying into that. And the second part of that first passage from verses 1 down through verse 12 is those who are stronger, and he defines those who are stronger as those who have faith, they have liberty in how they live. And those that are weaker are defined as those who have the scruples, or who kind of have the list of things that these are the things that I won't do. And he says those that are weaker need to be careful not to judge those who have their liberty, and those that have the liberty need to be sure they don't hold those who have the scruples and to hold them in contempt. Probably because of the judging that takes place. And to recognize whether you're the liberty person or the scruples person, you need to learn to live together and to recognize that both of us have valid positions before the Lord. And we do that if we're doing it not because we have a liberty that we flaunt and just live out, or because we have scruples that we just take somebody's list. We do it as standing before the Lord. And he says in verse 6, he says, who observes the day, observes it for the Lord. Who eats, does it for the Lord, and who gives thanks for the Lord. He who does not eat for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. So it doesn't matter whether you're the liberty person or the scruples person, you can be doing those, standing before the Lord, fully convinced that your position for yourself is right, and you need to be careful how you shed that onto other people. In verses 10 to 12, he comes to the place where he says, why do you judge your brother? Or then again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Those are the two things. The liberty person holds in contempt. The scrupulous person has judgment. For we all stand before the judgment seat of God, so that each one of us will give account of himself to God. God is the ultimate judge. God is the one we answer to, more importantly than we answer to one another. God is the one who holds us accountable. From that, in verse 13, where we're going to start, he starts with the word therefore. That therefore looks back to say that therefore is based on the fact that God is a judge and we are held accountable to him. Because of that, where do we go from here? Let's read, or follow with me as we read verses 13 down through 18. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. And to him who thinks anything is unclean, to him it is unclean. For because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We just sang that. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Father, as we come to this passage, there's an importance to it that should lie deep within us, because it's how we view each other and how we relate to each other and how we value each other, and how we keep from judging each other. So pray you would open our hearts as we look at your word and help us to be ready to listen to what you have to say to us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So he begins by saying we need to be careful not to cause one another to stumble. Now, when I saw those packages of looked like wine, I was ready to stumble. I mean, I was just ready to lie flat right in front. I go, what's going on here? But anyway, having said that, it says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. The word judge is used twice in that sentence. For let us not judge, the word is krenos, let us not judge one another, but rather judge this. The word is krenos. There's a play on words here. Now, most of your translations, I'm not sure any of them equate the two together. Most of them change the word because of the context. But he's saying that, just as he said before, we need to be careful not to judge one another, but we need to determine this. We need to judge this, that I will be careful not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. That I will go out of my way to make sure that how I'm living is out of consideration, so that I do not cause those around me to stumble. So how does my action impact other people? On these areas that are amoral or not inherently, and he's not referring here to things that are inherently sinful, but he's relating to things that are kind of in the gray area, and he says, I have to be careful that my actions don't cause somebody else to stumble, or to put an obstacle in a brother's way. I remember when I was in high school, one of my friends, his father was blind, and he said to me, when we get upset with my father, he said, we just move a piece of furniture. Mean! That's called passive aggressive. And sometimes as brothers and sisters, we can do that. We can say, you know, I have liberty to do this, and I don't care how it impacts you, I have liberty to do this. And we need to be careful of that. The danger we have here is that we can make the standard of behavior in the Christian life equal to the lowest common denominator. Do you know what I mean by that? So we take a poll amongst us here, and we get a list for each of you of what you consider to be things in the Christian life that we shouldn't do. And so, you know, on this list would be this, you'll have this list, you'll have, and you go down and you get that whole list together of 153 things that we as a body would not do. And then we publish that list, and in order to make each other not stumble, that's the list that we live by. Is that what Paul is asking us to do? That's almost what it sounds like. So if I do something that causes you to stumble, and it may, I was talking to this elder, not from here, but talking to this elder, and they had just recognized a new elder. Two of them had gone out visiting for the first time. And they go into a home, and in this family's home, they're just doing just a common family visit, just how are you doing, that type of thing. And as they go in this home, this newer elder sees a television in the front room. So he proceeds in the conversation to tell this family that it's sinful to have a TV in your room. And you should not. And the wickedness of TV and what it brings in the home and influence it brings up, valid points. And my friend, the elder who's my friend, says, I was sitting there thinking, I have a TV in my home. What does that say about me? So these two elders are disagreeing on something that is pretty simple. He said, I sat there having a hard time listening to my fellow elder tell them that it was sinful to have a TV in their room, in their home. So how do we deal with this? Do we go to the lowest common denominator and say this is what is acceptable practice amongst brothers and sisters in Christ in this location? That's not what he's calling for here. He's saying there needs to be freedom to eat and freedom to not eat. There needs to be freedom to observe a day and freedom not to observe a day. And in that, we need to work together and recognize that my behavior is not to be governed by everything that somebody around me doesn't like. And yet, I have to be sensitive to those things. And it's a touchy issue. I've been here too long. I use these illustrations over again. Dear Sister Maxine Art, just loved her. She'd come over to our house, just drop by as she walked out because we lived about four blocks away, and she'd come by any day of the week, including Sundays. And she came over one Sunday, and I was mowing my lawn. And she didn't think that I should be mowing, that a Christian should be mowing their lawn on Sundays. That was not acceptable behavior. And I don't think she said anything at that point, but then later on, about a week later, I sprained my ankle, and she let me know that sprained ankle was probably because I've been mowing my lawn on Sunday. God bless her. So you look at that and you say, okay, so what happens in those kinds of things? And we need to be careful not to judge and not to hold in contempt. We need to be careful when we're around people to not let those things become the issue. And that sometimes I need to curb my liberty in deference to a brother or sister that I could cause to stumble. And that I need to curb my scruples in order to give allowance to those who have liberty in areas that I don't. That we need to be careful about those things. And this first principle here is to be careful in how we live it out so that we don't simply do things that cause people to stumble. And I've seen people liberty very poignantly step up and and flaunt their liberty in front of those that they know it will cause them to stumble, because they want to make sure that everybody knows they have liberty. And Paul is saying, don't do that. He says, I know, excuse me, he says, I know and am convinced, just saying, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Is pie a la mode unclean in and of itself? No. Okay, you need to accept that. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if in your heart you recognize something to be unclean, you need to hold on to that and not be talked out of that position. Now, sometimes after you think about it, so many reasons, well, you may come to that conclusion on your own, but be careful that we're not trying to sway other people in our position just because we like it or don't like it. For if because of food your brothers hurt you, will no longer be walking according to love. That is, if you, in this case, eat, but it's a lot broader than that. If you mow your lawn on Sunday and it's going to cause somebody to stumble, you need to be careful that you don't mow your lawn on Sunday. And it's not hypocritical to say, in some gatherings, I can enjoy a glass of wine, and in other gatherings, I don't. That's not hypocritical. Because he's saying you need to realize that you have liberty, but you have to be careful about those around you, that you don't cause them to stumble. And that all things are unclean. Peter recognized that. Remember when the sheet came down and had the unclean animals, he said, and the Lord said, don't call anything unclean that I have called clean. He says, what the Lord has considered cleansed, no longer consider unholy. So we need to be careful that what we do with what we have and the liberty have, we, that we don't use that to cause harm to our brother. So I'm going to ask a question that will get me in trouble. So is marijuana unclean? We used to say it's illegal. It will not be that very soon. So is it unclean? Is it proper for a Christian to use marijuana? There are Christians out there right now that are wrestling with that question. And we should wrestle with it. We should wrestle with, what does it do to our mind? What does it do to our body? What does it do to the addiction? What does it do to all of us around, all of the parts of me? That's part of it. And would I have full liberty? I have full liberty to partake in marijuana as soon as the law's off. Does that give me, I'm going to use the same word, the liberty to partake? Not for me, it sure won't. And I think there's a lot of arguments against it, and why we shouldn't partake of it at all, and why it should be out of the question for Christians to partake of it. But that's what some people are wrestling with. And there are things that are harmful to us that some of us partake in that we justify, and we need to be careful of that. And so he's saying, be careful that we don't take food and use it to harm our brother, because if we do that, we're not walking according to love. Please don't hear me say that I condone marijuana. I condone the wrestling of the issue. I think the use of it should be out of the question for a Christian, but that's my personal conviction, and I hope you come to the same one. But according to, he says, we need to be careful that we're walking according to love, and we, if we want to go out of our way to harm our brothers. He says, you're not working according to love. Love needs to be the foundation upon which we walk. And he goes on to say, don't destroy your brother. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. To me, that's an interesting phrase, and he uses the same phrase in verse 20 that we'll get to next week. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. And food is just an analogy. So he says, those things that you enjoy in life or you have liberty in life, and he says, how important are those things? When you recognize, here's a brother and sister for whom Christ died, gave his life to bring them to Christ, and brought them and paid the penalty for their sin, and brought them into the church, and he said, gave his life for everything, and he sacrificed himself so that he could buy that person back into salvation. He says, when you look at that, and the price that it took, how menial is the sacrifice that I have of my food or something else that I might enjoy for the sake of that brother for whom Christ died? And pretty soon, food sounds very, very trivial. Having the TV in your house seems very, very trivial. The type of schooling that we have our kids involved in becomes very trivial. They're important on their own issues. And they're important decisions, but to divide and to split and to hold contempt and to judge over those issues and to take liberty in those issues and to destroy people seems very, very trivial. And he says, we need to be careful that we do not destroy our brothers and sisters in Christ for the sake of food. He goes on to say, we need to be careful that we don't destroy our witness. It says, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. And that's really both in the church and outside of their church. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. So it says, your lifestyle will be looked at both by your brothers and sisters in Christ and by the world from the outside. And you need to be careful that the way you're living doesn't become spoken of as evil because you're doing things that bring shame to the gospel of Christ. Even things that are perfectly legal and for which we have liberty to do. And again, this is not a call for our Christian behavior to be the lowest common denominator, and whatever anybody doesn't like, we can't do. That's not what it's a call to. But it's a call to conviction, and it's a call to not going out and hurting our brother and sister in Christ because we feel we have the liberty to do certain things. Some of you have liberties in areas that I don't. And I have liberties in areas, I'm sure I have liberties in areas that some of you don't. And Paul is saying that's okay, but we need to recognize that in all of those differences that we draw together, and that love be our guide as we care for one another, as we're sensitive to one another. Because you can hold your scruples with contempt and judgment. You can hold your liberty with contempt and judgment, or you can hold your scruples and just value them and not hold other people to them. And you can hold your liberty without hating those that don't have the same liberty, and being careful how we live those out in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The three things he gives here that should be the emphasis are righteousness, that is right and wrong. There is right and wrong. There are standards he wants us to live by. There is a set of things that Paul has taught and that are taught in Scripture, that these are the issues settled on these, on some of the behaviors, many of the behaviors. And this kind of behavior is right and this is wrong, and we need to hold to those and to the righteousness of that. There is a right and wrong. There is a standard. But along with that, we need to have a peace and work for working together, holding together, bonding together, living together, and valuing one another, even in our differences, in terms of what we hold as in terms of our behavior. And in all of that, there should be a joy in the Holy Spirit, that there should be a peace and a settled happiness, not in just a peripheral happiness, but a settled joy that we have with one another, because we can work through those differences and we can value them and we can love one another. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. That is, when we get to that point where we can begin to hold our differences and value those and accept those and to value one another in our differences and to hold to those and to say, I can love you in spite of the fact that we may not differ in all the same scruples and all the same liberties, that we need to be willing to hold those. And he said, when we can do that, we become acceptable to God and approved by men. And sometimes when we hold those scruples, we're not approved by everybody. But he said, we need to recognize that we can approve by those around us because we learn to value and care for and love one another. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a final song, and I'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll do that. Our Father, we're thankful for the simplicity of this instruction. It's not something real complicated. It's just learning to listen to you, to bring those things to the heart in terms of how we respond to Scripture. And then to be willing to value those in our own lives and to value those around us, even though we differ in some very significant ways in some of the areas that we live. We thank you for this and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.